Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
If that line falls on the right, babe, not that Mackie. Back in town. Look out, old Mac is back.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How we doing on this Thursday morning? 2:03 on the Fan. I got you for 3 hours. You know the deal. The warm-up show will come your way, but it's me till then. Give me a call. Let's talk about greatness. And Aaron Judge. 888-808-1019. We got Rami on the other side. And we got 3 hours here to do this show. And I'm looking forward to it. I feel better about this team. Yeah, and I know they beat the White Sox. I get it. They avoided disaster, ultimately. The Mets avoided a 5-game losing streak, showed up. They seemed to be awoken by a relief pitcher getting in their face. And Pete Alonso actually did something in the offense, who I've told you over and over again is going to be the driving force of this team, showed up, scored a bunch of runs. And listen, Peterson's been unbelievable. We'll get to all of that. And we'll get to the game, too, between the Yankees and the White Sox and all the different things that happened. And Cabrera needs to play more. Plain and simple. The sacrifice fly from second base. Soto with another home run. But we're going to start praising someone who absolutely needs it. And we all know this. We didn't need to see his 300th home run to recognize how incredibly talented and what an unbelievable player we're seeing here. And let's just be honest about what we are seeing. As Judge, if you're unaware, Judge hit his 300th home run last night. He did it because Grady Sizemore intentionally walked Soto in front of him, which, I mean, I think we were all dumbfounded. If we're all watching the game, right? We're all frustrated. And ultimately, I hate playing the White Sox. I hate it. I hate playing these teams that if you lose one game to a stub your toe, it's just like the ultimate, oh, what a disaster. The sky is falling. And let's be totally honest, just for a second real quick. I know they're awful. They didn't play that bad. Fletcher out in right field is an incredible outfielder. They played great defense. Sheets was hitting the ball all over the place in this series. They didn't look like the worst team in baseball history to me. But having said that, they are awful. And the Yankees avoided a disaster of a possible lost series to them. But ultimately, when you come out of this game, and for whatever reason, whether it's the Soto at-bats, right, 4 consecutive home runs between 3 yesterday, or 2 days ago now, and 1 last night, and then Judge hitting his 300th home run. And just to take a second and recognize what we're seeing right now with those two guys playing in the middle of this lineup, and specifically Judge, as now we are looking at a guy who's been here, he's going to be here for his entire career. He is now the fastest man in the history of baseball to 300 home runs. He's done it 132 games faster than Ralph Kiner, 132. That is damn near a full season of baseball. And if it weren't for his, inability to get it going in his early 20s, I guess, and getting called up at 26, and if it wasn't for all the injuries he's had to deal with, the shortened season of 2020, who knows where he would be right now in home runs. But this is what we are watching right now, as he is hitting 330, already 110 RBIs. 2 or 3 home runs. I mean, the guy is what we are watching right now from Aaron Judge, and I'm not kidding, right? We are watching, without question, the greatest New York Yankee since Mickey Mantle. Without question. And you can honestly possibly go further than that when you consider, and they're actually talking about this. Mike Cameron was talking about it during the Met broadcast, if you were watching that game. The way baseball is today and how difficult it is to hit, and if you look at, obviously, batting averages and everything else that go throughout baseball, it is so hard to hit. pitching has become, I know it's injury waiting to happen, everybody's hurt, but everybody throws 97, 98, 99 miles an hour. Every bullpen arm is designed just to get you out. Lefty, righty, you never see the same pitcher more than twice in a game. It is as difficult to hit today as it ever has been before. And this guy is toying with the opposition. Toying. He is an absolute beast. And I loved what he did last night. And I thought it was so apropos to have it be his 300th home run. And they intentionally walked Soto in front of him. And he's pissed off. And you could see it in the swing. I tweeted it out. The swing, you could tell he was angry. That pitch was 6 inches off the plate inside. He was not going to get denied on that at bat. That's how freaking good this guy is. I mean, that is, let's be honest, I know he strikes out a ton. But to be able to just be determined to pull an inside fastball for a home run, that is like Tony Gwynn-type bat manipulation to go on top of being able to hit it 485,000 feet. I mean, the guy is something we have never seen. He is Barry Bonds. And we all try and do, you know, the steroids, whatever. This is as good a hitter as we have ever seen. And this is our Mickey Mantle. This is our Ted Williams. This is our Joe DiMaggio. This is our Babe Ruth. That's how good this guy is. And when you compare him and combine him with Juan Soto and the two of them dynamic in the middle of this order, and you are, I mean, this is, we talked about it last night, as good as it gets. This is Maris Mantle. This is Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. That almost happened. That almost happened. This is Winfield and Mattingly. This is on another level. And it's just the day-to-day. I understand it's beating the White Sox. There's a lot going on with the Yankee season. We're going to get to it all. We're going to get to the Met game, but just for a second to acknowledge how freaking great this guy is and these two guys are. And here's the other thing I want to get to, because apparently it's like the topic here with Soto. And eventually, you know, every day it seems to be, right, at the beginning of the year, it's kind of dulled a little bit as the Yankees went through their struggles and we weren't focused on Soto every day. But it seems like right now, especially with the four home runs and what's going on here with the Yankees and how important these two guys are, there is no way in hell. Right, let's just start here. There is no way in hell Hal Steinbrenner is going to willingly let this duo break up. All right? There is just no chance. I understand everybody hates him. I understand he's not his father. I understand that there have been guys like Harper and Machado and other guys who have been allowed to leave or, excuse me, not leave, but allowed to go on and not be brought into the Yankees when they made perfect sense, right? All the shortstops as we were waiting for Volpe, who's in another slump, although he came through with a double in this game. All the Seager and Turner and all the shortstops that, you know, Correa, all the shortstops that passed over the last 2 years in free agency, and the Yankees didn't nibble. Bryce Harper obviously would have been a perfect fit. He wanted to be here. His father was a Mickey Mantle guy. He wanted to be here. Made perfect sense. No, they didn't want to do it. I get it. This is different. This is different. When Judge hit the free agent market, they made sure to get him. Everybody, oh, other teams offered him more money. He's playing here right now. He didn't ask to match the Padres' $400 million. He asked for the ninth year, $360 million, and that's what Steinbrenner ponied up. And if you look at this team right now, right, and I talked about this, I saw it on SMY, I've been saying it for weeks. When you look at the trade deadline, that was underwhelming. And we talk about stacking the deck. I heard Keith say it a million times during the show. He's been saying it a million times over the past 2 months, or really since he's been on the air. And I get it. And you should be stacking the deck. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. We're going to find out when they win a World Series this year or when they don't win a World Series this year. But part of the reason the trade deadline, I believe, was treated the way it was, and the reason why guys like Spencer Jones and clearly Dominguez and some of these other guys weren't moved, is because of Juan Soto. And there's two ways to look at Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Hey, you got them in the middle of the lineup this year. You do whatever it takes to try to win a championship. And there's also the, this guy can't leave. They have to make sure Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are together forever. And when you want to pay these guys and you look at Stanton and you look at Rodon and you look at Cole and you look at Judge, how do you keep Soto on this team? What you do is you keep youth everywhere else. Like, if you look at the roster this year, like, it's not hard to do. Like, I heard Gio this morning. How are you going to do it in this luxury tax era? How do you keep both of them? This is how you do it. It's quite easy, in fact. You look at this roster right now. Rizzo makes $20 million. He's off the books. Gleyber Torres makes $14 million. He's going to be off the books. Believe it or not, Josh Donaldson is still $6 million on the books this year. He's off the books. Verdugo makes $9 million. You can bet your ass Verdugo is not going to be here next year. Stack up all that money. And here's the other thing. Juan Soto is already making $31 million this year. To pay him $50 million is only $20 million more. That's made up just by Rizzo. And what you do with all of those guys is you replace them with Ben Rice. You replace them with Peraza, who was just called up. You replace them with Dominguez in the outfield. That's how you pay your superstars, and that is why the Yankees have been trying to go. That's why the Yankees have held on to Volpe and not went out and spent all this money on shortstops. This is why Dominguez is not available. This is why Spencer Jones is not available, because if you want to have the handful of superstars with whatever you think about Steinbrenner and you think it's all about money, here's the deal. Do you know what sells those chicken buckets you think he praises and you know, has a shrine and statues built in his house on with chicken buckets and beers? Do you know what pays for those things? Superstars. Superstars. And he's passed on some, but when one is in your building and you have combined to have a fearsome middle of the order where this is historic, a 25-year-old kid already putting up Hall of Fame numbers, already a world champion, already one of the handful of greatest hitters of this generation, and he's playing next to your Mickey Mantle, your Babe Ruth, your superstar who's now hit 300 home runs faster than any player in the history of the game, who on command can hit an inside fastball 400 feet over the left field wall just because he's pissed off that the White Sox walked Soto in front of him. When you have that opportunity, you do not let it go. And Steinbrenner will not let this go. Now, I can't promise you that in comes Steve Cohen, in comes and any other owner you want, the new owners that have more money personally than George Steinbrenner in Baltimore. You add whoever you want. Someone comes in and offers him something outrageous, I can't guarantee you that he won't leave. But let me ask you if Juan Soto is in a better spot. And so many people that he could possibly be in a better spot than the spot he's in right now is yesterday we played the postgame sound, and it was literally two guys in love with each other. No, you're the best. No, wait a minute. No, don't you. Come on. You kidding me? I'm better than you. You're the best. We all know who the best is. Back and forth. It was obnoxious. He's hitting in front of the greatest hitter, arguably, by the end of his career, we could go down and say that Judge is the best hitter who ever lived. He's having the best year of his career, Juan Soto. He's playing in a ballpark that the fans adore him. There's 40,000 there every single night. He's got the short porch and right. And for the next 7 years, he's got the best hitter in baseball alongside of him. And everybody thinks, oh, well, all that matters is the money. All that matters is the money. Because he turned down a contract when he was 23 years old with the Washington Nationals, who won a championship, and immediately broke down and didn't pay Harper the year before and broke down. And he went right into losing, and they offered him a contract of just under $30 million per year. I know it was for $440, but it was $30 million a year, and he bet on himself. And because he turned down $440, everybody's convinced he will take, it doesn't matter who gives it to him. The Colorado Rockies could offer him the most money and he'll go there. And I don't know that. I think he's in a pretty damn good position. And if he gets what he wants, just like Judge, right? If Judge turned down a contract of $240 million, Judge turned down guaranteed money when his injury-plagued career was still at that point. Judge turned down money, and then Judge, once he had the great year, turned down money in free agency. San Francisco offered him just as much. He could have went home. San Diego offered him $400 million, $40 million more than the Yankees did. To be in this spot, to be in this lineup, to be hitting in front of Aaron Judge is the best thing that could happen for Juan Soto. And if you think he's going to, without question, leave that for a couple of bucks, I'm not so sure. And as I watch this, as I watch this team still struggle through a season where they should be better, no doubt. As I still watch this team have really no bullpen offensively besides Soto, be shut down for the first six innings against the worst team in baseball, absolutely. But I also get to watch on a daily basis. And this is what, like, I literally saw a guy on Yankees Twitter put out today. In all honesty, since 2009, give me one thing Yankee fans have a reason to smile about. And I wanted to jump through my phone and just start screaming at someone. We just got to watch the greatest player of this generation hit 300 home runs faster than anyone who ever played the game before. We get to watch him every day. He's the captain of the New York Yankees. It's 162 games. This is it's baseball. It's a sport. And I understand that ultimately the goal is to win a championship and no one's saying different. But if you can't enjoy the journey at all, if we can't watch Juan Soto hit four consecutive home runs and four consecutive at bats and watch Aaron Judge hit after him and watch those two go to work. Like, we had the movie, did you see the Billy Crystal movie on HBO, 61? Because I watched the movie. Did they even celebrate the championship? Was that even part of the movie? I don't even remember. It's about the special nature of that year. And it's about what those two men did. And watching these two guys on a nightly basis, if you honestly have to rack your brain for a reason to enjoy it, you're nuts. And you're not seeing the forest through the trees. And we'll get into all the disappointing parts of this team, the things that need to change with this team, Verdugo hitting leadoff, all the different things that need to be done to ultimately get to a point to win a championship, including Judge performing better in the postseason himself. There's a lot of things, a lot of question marks. But on a night where he hits 300, on a night where Soto hits his fourth home run in four consecutive at-bats, on a time where we're concerned about whether or not Soto has priced himself out of the Yankees and whether or not this is going to live forever. Two things. One, it absolutely can. And two, how about we just enjoy it for what it is right now? Two of the three or four greatest hitters of this generation, and possibly we are watching the greatest Yankee since Babe Ruth play baseball right now. Maybe we could put down all our hate and actually watch this and say, what a marvel. Because this guy is special. This guy is special. Derek Jeter was a great player, but he was a winner. And it was a different kind of special. He was great. The team was amazing. And they won championship after championship. It was a special group. You could feel the hate to lose. That, honestly, I'm not sure I felt in any team in baseball since. No, it's been no repeat champion, and it's certainly not been in the Bronx. That's fair. But this is a player like we've never seen. He's better than Alex Rodriguez. He's better than Derek Jeter. He's better than anyone in that team. Doesn't make it any more less special, more special. It's just a fact. We are watching what could go down as the greatest Yankee this side of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And so just take a second on the night he hits 300 when they walked him in front of him and he's pissed off and he takes an inside fastball 6 inches off the plate, gets his hands in and hits it 400 feet to left field. Let's just take a second and recognize how incredibly special this is and how these two guys absolutely can figure it out and how the New York Yankees and Hal Steinbrenner have a path to get it done and absolutely have to. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Mets, obviously, as they snap their losing streak. We'll get to more aspects of this game. I want to talk about Wells. I want to talk about Cabrera and how he needs to play. Let's talk about Verdugo and Volpe and some of the slumping in this team and the fact that really it was a struggle, even though the game ends up being lopsided, to get past the White Sox and what this lineup needs to do to get better so that we feel better about this team moving forward. But just for a second, in the open here, let's take your calls on how what it's like to watch these two players go at it, because it's something that we haven't seen since at least the 60s and possibly the 20s. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Take your calls next right here on The Fan.